Broadcasting from the confines of an abandoned radio station in the secluded ghost town of High Strangeness, just outside of Area 51. It's time for full disclosure of the topics they told us were off limits. Hello, everybody. Merry Christmas. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM, broadcasting from News Radio 840 WHAS Studios of iHeartMedia in Louisville, Kentucky. This is home of the Lights Under Louisville, the Mega Cavern, where I was with Where's Willis yesterday, myself with George Norrie. Also, the giving of bourbon gifts happens here in Kentucky, bourbon candy, bourbon bakeries, and of course, bourbon. Also, the gift of derby glasses, and if you live here, you'll understand that one big time. Tonight, it's Christmas Eve. We're going to be having some festive facts and some strange festive facts as well. Tracking Santa, that'll be exciting. I think he's already given close to 6 million gifts up, or it could be 6 billion, actually. I've never seen numbers that high. Also, Bishop James Long will be here with the true story of Christmas. He's going to give miraculous facts as well as let you guys call in and ask the specific questions that you've been wanting to ask. So that's what's happening tonight. So time now to turn off the lights, light the fire, prepare the eggnog, roast the chestnuts, and join me for another interesting evening of conversation, much-needed education, and the chance that we might get a little closer to the truth of what lurks amongst us and what is beyond that chimney and the North Pole. I'm Connie Willis. Merry Christmas. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM. You're listening to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis, and Merry Christmas. Hearing those sounds, you hear what that is? You know what that is? That's our Santa tracker. And I want to see where he's at. We're following it with NORAD if you'd like to do the same. We're going to be doing that throughout the night because tis the season. Okay, let's see. We are at, oh my gosh, is that 5 billion or 5 freaking trillion? These are the gifts that are delivered. Right now, Santa is heading for Canada. Regina, he's going to be there in about a minute, 37 seconds. He was just at Prince Albert. That's pretty interesting. Wow, he's in the cold, cold, cold area. And I know he's been through the States, but we'll just keep tracking him, okay? Because we are global here on Coast to Coast AM. So again, Merry Christmas to everybody. We're going to have an interesting night. We're going to be talking to the Bishop James Long. He's a friend of mine, but also so educated and just well-informed with so many things. He's a neat guy. He stands up for everything that he believes in, and he's going to be a lot of fun to be listening to. We're going to be giving you some festive facts. I want to thank everybody for all the comments with the Where's Willis last night. There was a lot of fun in the Mega Caverns. Man, it was a blast. I really hope if you all ever get a chance to do it, I mean, you do check it out because it's a pretty creepy place as well. It can be very festive with the festive lights that are happening. But I went into areas that, I mean, there's some conspiracy theorists love the caverns because there are some really unique things going on there that some things we know about, some things we don't. And I think there's things we'll never, ever know about, but it's a very interesting place and creepy too. There's been known to have seen an Indian in full attire there. The people that do the zip lines have seen this Indian spirit around there, so it's definitely creepy. But happy Hanukkah as well to people out there, and happy holidays to just everybody that's celebrating something else as well. Thank you as well for joining Blue Rock Talk, Earth's Most Interesting Conversations with Connie Willis. That's my new YouTube channel. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I haven't really started my, you know, live interviews and live events yet, but that's coming up. And go ahead and subscribe so you won't miss any of that. That's a lot of fun. And thank everybody just for supporting me in general here at Coast to Coast AM. You've been fantastic, and I appreciate that. Santa tracking, festive information. I got some weird information to tell you about, but some of the simple facts that are going on that you may not have known about Christmas is, you know, I got a whole bunch of different facts that I had no idea myself. Like Alabama, the first state in the United States to officially recognize Christmas was Alabama. So those of you down on Alabama, come on, they're good people. They started recognizing it in 1836. And that's a pretty interesting fact. I got a ton of them, and I'm looking forward to talking about those throughout the night, especially tracking Santa. But we're going to talk about the true story of Christmas, and let's bring on my buddy, Bishop James Long, we need a like a drum roll for you there, James. Are you there? Don't you think? Well, that would be perfect for you. How are you?
Christmas to you, Connie.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. My brother from another mother.
Yeah, I love your YouTube channel. It is really good stuff.
Thanks.
I tell you, there you have a lot of good interviews and shows. Man, if your listeners checked it out, they need to do themselves a favor. And after the show, of course, check it out. It's really good. I like it a lot.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You are one of the people I interview on there. So.
Well, I apologize.
No, it was great. It's when I very first met you. That's when I very first met him. Sorry, that's my phone freaking out over here. That's how I met James. This is how I met James, and we'll get into the story for you because he's just a wonderful guy, everybody. He really is. I call him brother, sister, whatever, any dweeb, you know, he calls me names. And it's funny because we'll post things on Facebook together and like I'll call him a dweeb or he'll say something to me and then people will get mad. They'll comment and get upset about it. And he's like, no, she's a friend. It's okay.
Yeah, I consider you a family member and I really appreciate you inviting me onto the show, of course, tonight on this Christmas Eve. So I really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you because your background as well. I mean, besides being a friend and just a hilarious guy, fun to be with. He can drive you nuts too, but that's how endearing he is. But when I very first called him, I had seen him on one of the shows. What was it? It was the one with Zach. What was that ghost show? Ghost Adventures?
Ghost Adventures.
Yeah, okay. I saw you on that. And at the time, I was living in Florida, and I had no idea you were a Louisville, you know, living in Louisville, my hometown, where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. But I saw you on, I went, I got to call this guy because I wanted to interview somebody that was in the world of God, that was a priest, was a man of the cloth, and that would actually talk about UFOs and ETs. That's what I wanted to discuss, and I didn't want them to just turn their back on me. And as we all know here, being coast-to-coasters, we all know that you can talk to some people and people of faith that will just turn on you and not want to discuss this. And you're like, wait a minute, I've seen something or, I feel something's happening, and they will not listen to you. But when I talked to James, I called him up on the phone. He was like, how'd you get this number? I was like, I don't know. I just found it. I don't know. It was like, it just all happened. And when I got him on the phone and he said, you know, all this kind of stuff, I said, well, listen, I want to interview you. And he sat there quietly. You pulled over. You were in a car. You pulled over. And you're just waiting, like, what is this? Who is this person? Somebody else wants an interview. And I said, I really would like to talk to. And I was scared. I thought you were going to go, you're going to burn in hell for that. But no, instead you said, I said, I'd like to talk to you about aliens and UFOs. And you went, oh, yeah, I don't remember the exclamation, but you said, oh, my gosh, anything other than ghosts, thank you. And
well,
I was so happy.
Because you'd called my private cell number. I like,
yes, I did.
How in the world did she get this? And, but I talk so much about demonology and possession, and I love teaching. I'm passionate about it, of course. And I love teaching, but man, there's so much more that I love to talk about. And when you said that, it was like, oh, thank God, finally, we can talk about something other than possession. it becomes like possession 24/7, and you have to step away from it. Otherwise, it really can take a toll, an emotional toll, because it's so dark. And so it's important to kind of, get so inundated with it that it becomes so negative. So that was a breath of fresh air. I was like, yeah, finally.
I know. I was so happy to hear that from you. It was refreshing to hear that from you. I was, oh my gosh, this is excellent. And you had a good time doing it. We both had a good time doing it. So tonight, we're going to talk about, you know, your specialty of what this night's about, the narrative of this evening. The miracles of it, because, it's not like we're having a church session and it's not coast to coast. It's absolutely coast to coast because coast to coast is all about what is beyond. And this is Christmas Eve. The story is what is beyond belief. I mean, it's miracle after miracle. So we're going to kind of go through the narrative of it. And then, and you know, it's going to be like, go for it, James, you know, and I'm going to, you know, kind of stop him from time to time and say what, you know, he'll do it in order kind of thing. And, you know, I want to stop you and say, well, what about this? And what about that? And then I know that people want to talk about, they want to hear about the Jesus Horace thing. Mm-hmm. And then I know everybody's got a bazillion questions. I mean, they sent them to me. So I hope that tonight that they finish up with the presents or, you know, whatever they're going to do. And then they make sure that they get a chance to call in. And that sounds cool with you still?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
And we will be tracking Santa.
Good. And we can talk about St. Nicholas. Actually, I read a brilliant, brilliant piece from the St. Nicholas Center. And I loved it. I loved the story. And because St. Nicholas, for those who want to know, existed. It was a real person. And so I would love to talk about what I read. It was just such a wonderful piece from the St. Nicholas Center.
Well, go ahead and tell us that one, and then we'll get on to everything else.
Okay, well, the story is the real Santa Claus, and this is from Carol Myers, from the St. Nicholas Center. She says that the real Santa lived a long time ago in a place called Asia Minor. We know that it's Turkey, and his name was Nicholas. And his parents died at a very young age and left him quite a bit of money. And he then left to live with his uncle, who was a priest. And Nicholas had heard about a man who lost all his money. And he had three daughters, and they were old enough to get married. But unfortunately, in those days, young women had to have money in order to get married. And it was a dowry to use to help the family get started. And if you didn't have a dowry, then you didn't get money. And the family was poor, and they had nothing left to even eat. So the daughters were going to be sold as slaves because they couldn't live at home any longer, and they were obviously sad. And it was a very devastating time for them. And so the night before the oldest daughter was to be sold, she washed her stockings and put them in front of the fire to dry. And all of them went to sleep, and the father and all the daughters. In the morning, the daughter saw a lump in her stocking. And reaching in, she found a small, heavy bag and had gold. It was enough to provide food, you know, for the family and money for her dowry. The next morning, another bag was found, and two of the daughters would now be saved. And the next night, the father planned to stay awake, you know, find out who's been helping them. And he heard this clink, and he jumped up, ran out the door, and Nicholas, you know, it's you. You know, thank you for helping us. And Nicholas said, you know, you're welcome, but I don't want you telling anybody that I did this. And he continued helping people. He's a very, very generous person. And he tried to do it secretly. He didn't want any attention. And years passed. He was chosen to be a bishop. And, you know, they look after the shepherd, you know, the sheep. And that's what Nicholas did. And when there wasn't any food, he found wheat so no one would go hungry. He always helped people in trouble. And everybody loved Nicholas. And after he died, they told stories of the good and, you know, kind kings, Nicholas, things that Nicholas had done. And so sailors took these stories about Nicholas everywhere they went. And so that's where you get the story of the stocking with St. Nicholas.
Oh, so then I like that. So it wasn't coal, it was gold. And I guess it would be bad if you got the coal, because that's where that story came from, right?
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. I think that's
cool.
A good story. And that was from the St. Nicholas Center, so we got to give them credit for putting that together. But when I read that, I thought, you know, that's really neat. But there were a lot of really wonderful people out there helping, you know, the poor. And that's one of my ministries, actually. I'm actually very, very devoted to the homeless ministry.
Yeah, what are you doing right now? Because I know you always take care of them. What's going on for the Christmas season for them?
Well, it's tough. What I do is I visit camps, the homeless camps in three states, Indiana, Kentucky, and Tennessee. And I do this during the winter. I've been doing this now for 15 years, going on 15 years. And every winter I go and I buy coats and hats and gloves and tents and sleeping bags. I spend usually between $3,000 and $5,000 per that winter, each winter. And I've been doing that for a long time. Now, of course, I can no longer sustain that income. I just can't do it. I just financially, there's no way, because I'm devoted to ministry. And so now what I've done is I've asked people, you know, to help, because I can continue this ministry. So now we're selling St. Benedict, their leather bracelets. and they're blessed, and they can go on my website and they can order that. And so every person who orders it, each bracelet will be individually, you know, blessed and sent to them. And it just it's a way for that people can help me continue to help this ministry, which is really, really important. There's a lot of people who are still in homeless camps, and there's a reason why they don't want to go to homeless shelters. And so,
yeah, I found that interesting. You told me about that. Tell. I think our listeners will find that interesting too.
Yeah,
people don't know about this. I didn't know about this.
Well, I used to be a homeless shelter coordinator, so I used to work in a homeless shelter, and one of the things that was required was that the individuals, the homeless folks, would come in. They'd come in during the evening time. They would, you know, they would have to submit everything. They would have to submit their, certainly their weapons. I mean, they had to submit any type of weapon, knife, et cetera. That was a requirement. And we would check their bags. We would check their belongings to make sure that they did not have weapons. If they did, it had to be checked. And unfortunately, in a lot of homeless shelters, or fortunately, however you look at it, there are individuals who work there who may not be so honest, and they don't get their weapon back. And so a lot of homeless people would rather sleep outside, because you have to understand that a weapon is their security. That is their front door. That is their locked door. And without that weapon, they can't go out and simply buy another one. They're poor. They have nothing. And so when you take away that security from them, that causes extreme anxiety, because unfortunately there are people who like to do terrible things to the homeless and put it on YouTube because they think it's funny. And it unfortunately gets a lot of views, and people can make money that way, and that's really terrible. It's just really preposterous, but that's what they do.
These
homeless folks would rather sleep outside in minus 20-degree weather than to go and take the risk of submitting their weapon, the thing that keeps them safe at night and during the day. And I understand that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, especially, you know, and that's something that you don't know unless you're around that situation to have that insight. So thank you very much for that. Well, I appreciate that you're helping them out like that. And I know that, you know, I'll have to help you on one of these times since I'm close to you. And I'll do that with you. That'll be fun. I got your back. I'll be there for you.
They're very protective. Obviously, someone asked me, I forgot what television show it was, but they asked, you know, why don't we do a show on this? You know, we can come follow.
No,
you don't understand.
No.
They don't want cameras there.
No.
Because if they have cameras there and you post their location, then obviously security officials or city officials are going to come and going to kick them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, you know, these 10 cities that they have to completely become nomadic during the winter, and that's not what they want. You know, and so they're very protective, and I can understand that.
Well, you're good to them, and you're very protective as well. In fact, you're very protective with the work that you have, because everybody wants to put your, you know, he's an exorcist, and everybody wants to put your work on camera. I've been around you a lot of times when everybody's like, let's put that on camera. You are like, absolutely not. And I stand up for you on that as well. Well, we're going to be, let's see. I don't want to get into anything right now, because what's going to happen is I'm going to take a break. So once we come back, we're going to start up right into what the big night's all about, and how really unbelievable things are. And I know people are going to compare stuff with some of the other neat things. There's going to be a lot of really good questions for you tonight. I got a lot written down from people, but I'm hoping they call instead. Just really quickly, briefly, just give people your credibility. Tell your background before we head to a break, James.
Sure. Well, I studied for the Roman Catholic priesthood. It was the best years of my life. I studied at St. Margaret Arch Abbey in Indiana. I went to Loyola University, graduated from Loyola University, went to St. Mary of the Lake Seminary, graduate seminary. I then completed my education at Argosy University with a Master's of Education, Sullivan University, summa cum laude, with a Master of Business, and then Agape Seminary with a Doctorate in Ministry and a Master of Divinity. So there's a lot of education. But, you know, put all that stuff aside, I'm one of the most open-minded individuals in the world. I don't judge anybody. And if someone has a different belief than I do, I am so excited about hearing what their beliefs are and why they believe it, and just have a discussion with them rather than sit and pontificate and say, this is what you have to believe. That's just not my style.
Well, that's why I have you on here, because you're the guy that is open to it. And not only are you open to it, and you will discuss it, and you will come back with answers on any debate that you had. You'll back it up. But you will also, you know, you're an exorcist. You're open to things that people can't explain. And hey, just being a man of the cloth, you're open to things that people can't explain. So thank you, James. We're going to be talking about Christmas narrative when we come back. So thank you very much for being here with us. Everybody hang in there. We've got another update with Santa, some festive facts, and the true story of Christmas here on Coast to Coast AM. And that was probably one of my dad's favorite Christmas tunes right there. And, you know, listening to that and thinking about it, and the vibes that come from Nat King Cole there shows it. He was a pretty romantic dude. Thank goodness. And then here I am. But can't do it any better than that one. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Romance, that's it right there. That's the one that you picture with that special somebody decorating the tree and that song playing. Oh, that's so sweet. So if you don't have somebody in your life, and you're looking for someone, don't forget about paranormaldate.com, conspiracydate.com as well. If you're into talking about all sorts of really cool things that we talk about here on Coast, Paranormal Date. If you want to take that next step and get into that conspiracy world and find someone else that will do the same with you, conspiracydate.com. Check that out too. Two fantastic ideas George came up with a buddy, and it's doing fantastic. In fact, over 55,000 members on there. That's a lot of people. So you have a lot of people to choose from. I think some people got in early, and that was a smart thing to do. Well, now that's even, golly, that's a lot of people. So if anything special happens, please let us know. We're looking forward to that. And also, if you say, I got a keyword for you. If you say George, you know, is the code, you'll get a really nice discount. In fact, I think it's like 40% or something really good. Don't quote me on that, but I know it's a really good discount. So we want to say Merry Christmas to you, and you're not alone. It's Coast to Coast AM. You're talking to Bishop James Long, coming up next with the true story of Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. And welcome back to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis. Tonight is Christmas Eve. Yay! But you know what? It's actually Christmas Day to some people. Part of the country, it's already. So Merry Christmas. And to others way over there on that other coast, Merry Christmas Eve to you. We are talking with Bishop James Long tonight, also giving you some festive facts throughout the evening. In fact, I need my bell. Where are my sleigh bells? Nathan Staten is my producer tonight. Nathan's out there in L.A., so Merry Christmas to you, Nathan. He's a Kentucky boy, by the way. And you can come in and say hi once in a while, can't you, Nathan? You can? So Merry Christmas, Nathan. I want everybody to know who you are, because you're the one that always makes me look and sound, well, sound as best as possible. So thank you for being here tonight.
So welcome. Thank you.
Okay. I don't want you to be shy. You can jump in there, okay? Because we got to keep up with Santa. So here's where Santa is. He's almost at 6 billion gifts that he has delivered. Now, he was last seen in Lubbock. Oh my gosh, it's Lubbock, Texas, isn't it? Oh, my Texas friend's going to kill me for that. But that's where he was last seen. And now Santa's heading to Dallas. Oh, my boys, Dallas, Texas. He's going to be there in 26 seconds. So any of you kids in Dallas or Plano or any of the little areas around it, you know, you're up. You better hit the sack, because if you're not in the sack, hidden away, then the gifts are not going to come down. That's just the way it is. So get in, go hide, sneak out the window if you want, or the little window if you want, but be like every other kid in the world. One of the Christmas trees, one of the facts that I want to tell you about was Christmas trees have been sold in the U.S. since 1850. And let's go ahead and bring James on, the bishop. And James, there's some really neat facts that you just didn't have any idea about. Let's see, in Poland, spiders or spider webs are common Christmas tree decorations, because according to legend, a spider wove a blanket for baby Jesus. In fact, Polish people consider spiders to be symbols of goodness and prosperity at Christmas. To me, it's like, ah! Did you know that?
Yeah, well, they need to be introduced to brown recluses and black widows, and then let's see how wonderful they are.
This is true. This is true. Well, let's begin the true story of Christmas, what it's all about, why we are celebrating tonight. We're going to have the narrative with Bishop James Long, and you will best know how to start this.
Well, you know, I think the greatest thing is when we look into the Gospels, and we, you know, the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. And I just love these Gospels, because Matthew gives a perspective from a Joseph's perspective, and Luke gives the perspective of Mary. And and of course, John and Mark, they really do not discuss the birth narrative. They go right into the Jesus' ministry. But I just love Matthew and Luke. You know, just imagine for a second, you know, Mary is, she's engaged to Joseph. And then she willingly accepts this true, amazing gift. But I would imagine she would be terrified. We're talking about two individuals who actually walked the face of this earth. Okay, so these people are true historical beings. They really walked the face of the earth. They lived their life. They dealt with fears and concerns and culture issues. And we're talking about a completely different culture at this time. I love history. So when I read scripture, it's not enough for me. I want to know what's going on during that time. I want to know the smells, the sounds, the history, the culture, the politics. I want to know everything around it. Because when you get really deep into understanding Mary's perspective, she must have been terrified. I mean, here she is. She's willing to accept this awesome responsibility. And she knew that she was engaged to Joseph. And yet she would have to tell Joseph, this is what I have learned. This is what God is telling me. And she knew very well that Joseph had every right, every legal right, to walk away from her. And she would have been shamed, terribly shamed, in the culture at this time when she's pregnant and it wasn't Joseph. So obviously many people would have said she committed adultery. Now, that's huge, because now Mary knew for a fact she knew that Joseph could have walked away from her and said, my hands are completely washed from you because you're obviously having relations outside of this marriage. And remember, when you were engaged to a man, you didn't commit adultery, because if you did, the penalty was death. That was the penalty, the stoning to death. You see, and so Mary knew this. And so she would go to Joseph, and she would, of course, tell him of this thing, and she knew the consequences. The consequences could be Joseph could leave her. Joseph could shame her. And even worse, she could face the death penalty. That must have been terrifying. I mean, if you really get into her perspective, my God, the amount of faith that this woman had in God is faith that I couldn't possibly imagine. I think we would all like to think that we would say, yes, God, you know, thy will be done. But really, in this type of responsibility, what she did was miraculous in of itself by saying yes.
Well, how back then did they... You know, I mean, that was so long ago. I mean, do you not even know you're pregnant? I guess it's not like she's going to know in a week or two and, you know, pull it out and go to the bathroom on a stick or anything. So she's got to learn about it later and then, you know, deal with that fact. And also back then as well, I mean, she was supposed to wait until she had gotten married too before there's any relations, correct? And they were not married at this point; they were just engaged.
That is correct. And when you are engaged to someone, to a man, you have to show tokens of your virginity, and that's in Deuteronomy, and those are the rules of the man of Moses. And so the token of virginity is obviously your bed sheets to show, in fact, that you are a virgin and that you have not lost your virginity. And that was you. it was unheard of. If you had lost your virginity prior to being married, then you were seen as adulterous. I mean, you were not seen as someone to be picked for marriage. It just weren't. And the fact that, you know, she didn't obviously showed her token of virginity, that her father would have had to have proven that to Joseph's family, and of course a dowry. But the idea that she knew, she obviously didn't have relations with Joseph, and she knew that this could be a very serious consequence. And that's from Luke's gospel. And it talks about Mary and what she endured. And now Joseph, my God, just Joseph in Matthew's gospel. So Joseph, and I think it's so beautiful because God comes to Joseph in a dream, and the messenger is an angel. And I think that speaks volumes, especially to me as a priest today, is because sometimes when God speaks to us, the heavens don't open up, the skies don't open up, and angels with trumpets blaring and God singing in a booming voice, this is what I want you to do. Sometimes God comes to us in very subtle ways. And we have to pay attention to that. We really have to pay attention to those messages. But yet, Joseph, who's then told that Mary is to be with child, and yet Joseph could have said no. Joseph could have said absolutely not. Nonsense. I'm not dealing with this. Joseph was, it says in Scripture, Joseph was going to quietly remove her basically from his life and divorce her ultimately, because she was already technically married to Joseph by her hand anyway, and so he was going to quietly divorce her so she wouldn't be stoned, and that's when Joseph had the dream. And I just think first of all, the love that Joseph must have had for Mary, it speaks volumes, because he would have been in the right according to man's law to publicly declare that she was an adulterer. I mean, imagine for a second, you're in a loving relationship with someone and you give complete and total loyalty to them, and then you find out that they're with child, and immediately Joseph must have thought, I can't believe she cheated on me. I can't believe she did this to me.
Oh, a lot of us have gone through that along the way, you know, just like, what? I thought we were like together. It's a horrible thing. But okay, so when Mary, did somebody come to her and talk to her? I mean, to get her straight on, look, this is what's going on.
Oh, sure. Yeah. In Luke's gospel, an angel actually announces the birth of John the Baptist in Luke. And then an angel announces the birth of Jesus in Luke. And Mary visits Elizabeth. And, of course, John the Baptist is born. Jesus is born. The thing is Luke's gospel brings peace to Mary and says, obviously God is wanting you to do. And this is the message, and brings peace to her. But in the end, it is her free will to choose yes or no. And I get excited when I talk about this, because I love theology, and I love the culture. But I want people to think much deeper than this, much, much deeper than just a simple birth narrative. You have the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of all things, willing to humble himself, herself, I hate gender when you're talking about God, but willing to humble himself to come to us as a baby. Now, think about that for just one brief moment. The Alpha and the Omega, the creator of all things, humbled himself to the point where the created were responsible for his well-being, that he became dependent on us. That is just remarkable when you think of the type of God, creator, that would be willing to do that, because he knew obviously how much he loved us. And for God to do this and humble himself and to come into the world that he created as a baby, in which is dependent upon us to bring and nurture and support, my gosh, if that's not miraculous, I don't know what is.
How did God choose Mary and David?
Well, it says in Scripture that Mary was very pious, and she was a very faithful woman. and she was very devout in her beliefs. And so because of her piety, because of her faith, that's what Scripture, that's the insight that Scripture gives us. And I think what we all have to understand sometimes is that Mary, of course, gave birth to the Messiah, which I believe. And obviously that is a massive responsibility. But we can never, ever underestimate the responsibility that God gives each one of us to show love and compassion to all. And we can never overlook that or diminish that as just, oh, that's just minimal. My God, let me tell you something, because I have to tell you this story and why I decided to join the Old Catholic Church. We do not discriminate against people. So we welcome everyone regardless of age, race, marital status, sexual orientation. We welcome everybody. And I was at an event one time, and they asked me to say Mass, and I said yes. And I was distributing communion. And this gentleman walked up, he came up to me, and he crossed his arm. That means I can't receive, but I would like to have a blessing. And I said, would you like to receive communion? And he said, I can't. I said, well, why not? He said, because, and I'm not going to go into denomination what he was, because my priest, my pastor, told me because I was divorced, I could never receive communion again until I have an annulment, and I'm just not going to have an annulment. I said, how long have you not received? He said, 15 years. And he started tearing up. And I said, would you like to receive communion today? And he stopped, and the tears started coming down his cheeks, and he said, yes. And let me tell you something. I distributed communion to this man, and for 15 minutes, he sobbed. So I sat there embracing this man who was sobbing uncontrollably. That's love and compassion. And that's the gift that God gives all of us to share with others. A simple gesture of saying, you are created in the image of God, and it is not my job to tell you that you are inferior or that you have no right to receive communion. If that is where your heart is, it's not my job to stand in front of the sacraments and say no to you. And I will never forget that. So the day I die, I will never forget that. It tears me up even just thinking about it, because he was sobbing.
Yeah, you touched me there a little bit too. You got me too.
That's the miracle. Of life, and that's the miracle that God gives all of us, the responsibility God gives all. And love and compassion comes in many different ways.
That's the responsibility that he gave Mary. And you're saying when she figured it out and found out, how did she find out? Did a angel come and tell her, or was it and an angel came later to say, hey, now this is how it's going to go down. It's going to be cool. This is what, I mean, how'd that all go? And then is that when she told David?
Joseph. Yeah.
I mean, Joseph. Yes, I'm so, thank you. I know Mary and David. Thank you.
Well, actually, the angel came to her and said, and it says in Scripture, peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you. And Mary was, it says in Scripture, she was troubled by the angel's message. And she wondered, what in the world they meant. And so the angel said, don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. And he explains, you'll become pregnant, give birth to a son. You're going to name him Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High God, and et cetera. He's an ancestor of David. And Mary said, I'm a virgin. How can this can't be possible. What are you talking about here? And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come on you. God's power will rest upon you. And for this reason, obviously, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God.
Does it ever talk about that time when that occurs and how that occurred and what happened?
Well, it doesn't give a whole lot as far as the historical, as far as
the conception,
something of this nature. And that's unfortunate, but it just simply doesn't. But it is believed that Joseph was much older than Mary. And so that's one thing that we can kind of decipher there. But, I mean, when at this time, Elizabeth, which was her cousin, when she was barren, she could not have children. And, of course, she gave birth to John the Baptist. And she was 6 months pregnant, even though at that time, Scripture says she was old in age. And so Mary then said, I'm the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said. And the angel left her. So, of course, then she went down and she visited Elizabeth to see, hey, you know, if this was true. And, in fact, it was.
That's a very interesting point. And we've got more to come. We're going to be talking about throughout the evening the narrative of the Christmas story. We've got Bishop James Long with us. And, hey, Merry Christmas to everybody. Thanks. I hope you're enjoying the show. And if you got some questions that you'd like to ask for James, we'll be taking those as well throughout the night. Santa updates to come, more festive facts, and more story about Christmas here on Coast to Coast AM. Merry Christmas, everybody.